This is Patsy with the Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. And I am so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper today somebody who loves fishing, because I love fishing. So I was really thrilled when I went to his website and I saw that he loves fishing. L. M. Weeks has written a wonderful, fantastic book called Bottle Lightning, and I am so happy to welcome you to the program.
Hi, Patsy. Thanks for having me.
Okay, L. M. Weeks, what can I call you?
Mark.
Mark. Okay, good. Mark, that's easier. Okay, Mark. Wow. I always love a book that starts off with a bang, but you put it really right up front there. This is quite an amazing opening.
Well, thank you.
Oh, it reads so well. It is amazing.
Appreciate that.
It's always fun when you get into a book and you can see it so well. You write so beautifully. And this opening scene will have everybody just turning the pages because it's exciting.
Well, it was a long road to get there. I actually started out with two other chapters before I finally chose that one to lead with. I'm glad I chose that one.
Yeah, you made the right choice because this really takes us into this absolutely fascinating story. You have to explain this technology behind it. There's so many aspects. Of course, let's talk a little bit about yourself because let's start with that fishing business because I love that website where you mention angling.
Well, thank you. I'm a fanatic. There's no doubt about it. I'm actually in the Florida Keys right now. I love it down here. I'm a fanatical tarpon angler, but I'll fish for anything as long as it's with a fly. And I've been fishing the tournaments down here for the last few years, but it's just a very special place down here, as you know.
Oh, it is. And, well, I'm a fanatic angler, too. I'm from Michigan's Upper Peninsula. I was born on the shores of Lake Superior. And I've been fishing, well, since before I could walk, to tell you the truth. My father already had me up there, sitting next to him holding a pole.
My first memory is of fishing, actually, with a bobber.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I remember, too. And it's so wonderful. I just love fishing, and my husband and I traveled around the world, and wherever we'd go, actually, we'd go fishing. People would say, what do you want to do? And, you know, we'd get to a new country, and our host would say, what do you want to do? And we'd say, is there any fishing around here?
So, what else are you going to do?
That's it. So, from a fisherman to, of course, you are a lawyer, a very accomplished lawyer. Explain a little bit about your background before you tell us about how you got this idea for this Bottle Lightning, because this is a technology book, and you're involved in technology in your law practice, right?
That's correct, yeah. I was born in Alaska, but I grew up in Idaho, and my father was a country lawyer, and when I was young, in junior high, I saw him defend somebody in a murder trial, and it was better than anything I'd seen on TV, so I decided then and there I wanted to become a lawyer. And then when I was in high school, I was on an exchange program to Japan. And while I was there, my host father told me about this guy that he described as an international lawyer who helped Japanese companies and U.S. companies do joint ventures and other transactions together. And that I didn't really know what that meant, but it sounded quite interesting. So I decided to become a quote-unquote international lawyer, which, again, I really didn't know what it meant. But I ended up going to New York to law school. I practiced there for many years, and then I was transferred to our Tokyo office in 2004, and I was there until last year, and I ran the office there for more than 10 years. It's really been a wonderful career for me.
And it has created for you such material, and you have come out with such wonderful characters in this book. Tell us about the Japanese characters.
Oh. I'm actually Caucasian, but I do speak Japanese, and I've spent more than half of my adult life living in Japan. My son is biracial. His mother is Japanese. And I have many friends who have children who are half Japanese and half American. And he was really the inspiration for the lead character, as well as the lead character's client, who is also half Japanese. And it shows up in the book, but her father is American and her mother is Japanese. He was in the Air Force in Japan. She was an interpreter. And Torn, the main character's parents, are just reverse. So his mother was a U.S. lawyer in Alaska, and his father was a Japanese commercial fisherman who moved to Alaska from Japan to seek his fortune, basically. And the dynamics that the different parents create is explained in the book.
As you said, your son is your inspiration for your main character, a technology lawyer.
Torne. Which is a Inuit deity, which can be either good or it can possess people to do bad things as well, which reflects his personality, because which is flawed, even though he's an amazing lawyer, and people call him Torn for short.
Yeah, I think that's a perfect name, because it is sort of, he is Torn. Yeah, so it's an ideal name for him.
Exactly.
And now he's a lawyer, and he has a client who has invented something that really,
yeah,
I found it so intriguing.
So his client, Saya, she's a serial entrepreneur, so she's a technology nerd, and she was involved in another startup which created artificial intelligence to help solar panels be focused where they need to be, exactly where they need to be focused, to maximize the energy generation. And she sold that company and then started this new company, which has developed a system for generating lightning on demand and storing the energy created. And so she hired Torn to help her with some intellectual property issues, in other words, to protect her invention from theft by others, and also to help her raise financing for her startup, which before she met Torn, essentially she was financing herself.
The technology that she's harnessing, explain this, because is it real? Is there any possibility of this?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. I think there's always a possibility, but it's all made up. It is not real, other than lightning, of course, is very real. And the inspiration for it came from lying on the boat, on the bottom of a boat in the Everglades, when we were overtaken by a thunderstorm and lightning bolts were dropping all around us. And we weren't sure if we were going to survive that. But once I got home, I thought, you know, if you could generate that much power on demand in a way that generated more energy than, you know, was put into the process, you would really and then you could store the energy. You would really have something there, because so much energy is generated with just one lightning bolt, which is hotter than the sun. And so I did a lot of research on it, and what I found was that science understands the theory of how lightning is generated, but not the actual practice. And that gave me a gray area in which to play. And what Saya did was she figured out exactly the mechanics for generating lightning, and then how to replicate it and store that energy. And once her invention is commercialized, it would replace all fossil fuels, all nuclear power, and all existing renewable energy sources such as wind and solar. And that's what results in the conflict, because obviously it would be hugely disruptive for not only companies, but entire countries like Saudi Arabia and Russia, for example, and Venezuela, and the entire fossil fuel and renewable and nuclear energies industries in the U.S. and elsewhere.
It creates a big, big batch of enemies for her.
Exactly.
People that you get to deal with, and that Torn gets to help her navigate through all of the threats that are made against her.
Well, that's right, and part of their problem is finding out exactly who is behind the terror.
So you had fun writing this, I think.
I did. There were a lot of walls I hit, and you know how it is. It's a bipolar or manic depressive process, and sometimes you wonder if you're ever going to finish it and if it's ever going to be any good. And sometimes you're very enthusiastic about it, and other times you're just grinding away because you figure you might as well finish it since you started it.
Well, I think you know, you're an excellent writer, able to capture not just the characters, but what I do like is that you have depth to your characters, that you make them sort of pop off the page, whether it's the good guys or the bad guys. You know, that's always so important when you're writing a book.
Well, thank you very much. I very much appreciate that.
When you started out, are you the kind that you had an outline or you just went for it?
I had a concept, Patsy, for a character. And then I knew I wanted to write a thriller. So I thought an international lawyer would be interesting. But beyond that, I didn't have any idea of what I was going to write about. So I later decided I wanted to write about some technological innovation, but even then I didn't know what industry. And so I really pantsed it, and things would come to me, you know, how it works in the middle of the night, the shower, and I would write notes, and I tried different things, and a lot of stuff ended up on the cutting room floor. But it really evolved in modules, so to speak, or parts over time. Even Saya, her character only came later with Torn. He had a different name at one point in time, and it wasn't clear whether he was going to have a family or not. And so it seemed like every day I sat down, I was making up some new aspect of the story. I didn't even have a outline in my mind as to where it was going to go or how it was going to end.
So how long did it take you to write it?
I started in 2017, the beginning of 2017, and the last round of edits I actually completed in February. And that was because one of the authors who kindly gave me an endorsement, gave me the endorsement and then had some comments. So then I went through another round of editing with an editor who was extremely helpful. And proofreading. And then we got it out the door into production.
Well, being a lawyer is a good training ground to become a writer, and many, many famous authors were lawyers. So sometimes people say, "Oh my goodness!" As if lawyers don't make enough money, then they have to also write books. but it is true. You learn to be disciplined when you're a lawyer, and you learn the use of words and how to, just understand how to use words.
Yes, that's true. And you learn to be precise and concise. And the challenge is that creative writing is so different from good legal writing. And everything is flipped, really. So I tended to overwrite in the beginning. And that was a real challenge, to learn to trust the reader and leave things up to the reader's imagination. As a lawyer writing for a client, the last thing you want to do is leave anything to their imagination. And you also don't want to be triggering them emotionally, which is just the reverse of creative writing, where you want to trigger the reader constantly. And you also want to hide the ball from the reader until the very end in creative writing, and make promises along the way that, you know, you're going to reveal it, or you're going to find out. Don't worry, just keep reading. But in legal writing, you want to give the client the conclusion right up front. Again, you don't want to leave anything that's vague or to their imagination, so you tend to use the same words over and over again because you want to be very precise about what you're saying and you don't want any ambiguity. So there are a lot of big differences that you have to understand and wrestle with and really get over in order to write well when you're engaging in creative writing.
So what authors did you go over and did you sort of make a decision, I'm going to read this author or that author? Or were you already a big reader?
I always loved Hemingway. I loved his short stories like The Short Happy Life of Francis Macomber and The Snows of Kilimanjaro and The Killers and, of course, The Old Man and the Sea, which I probably read 10 times. But there were other authors like Stieg Larsson. I loved the story of Lisbeth in The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. I really enjoyed the Red Sparrow series. And there's one book in particular where I think the author does a fabulous job of combining an amazing story with incredible writing, and that's The God of Small Things. Of course, there are other examples as well, but that's a book that I read years and years ago, and it keeps coming back to me. I keep thinking about it. Maybe I think about it at least once a week, if not more, because her writing is just so spectacular, and the story is so multi-layered. It helps if you've been to India to relate to it, because it takes place in India, but you don't have to be. You don't have to have gone to India. And so she provided a lot of inspiration for me as well, even though her book is contemporary and mine is more of a thriller.
And, of course, Japan, you have so much rich material there to use.
Yes, and I remember, 45 years ago reading James Clavell's Shogun, for example, and obviously that has stayed with me my entire life. There's even, the James Bond book involving Japan, and there are obviously lots of nonfiction books about Japan. There's even Shibumi. I don't know if you remember that book from like 1979 or 1980, which is sort of a super thriller by Trevanian, written by a professional assassin who was educated in Japan during World War II, which is a very fun, fantastical read. So there's a lot of material there, because also Japanese history and culture and language are all very rich.
And you have embraced even the martial arts.
Yes, particularly when I was younger. I did a lot of it in high school while I was there, and then when I returned during college, I did a lot. Not so much now. My focus is much more on fly fishing.
And another book?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I would think so.
I don't know if there's going to be a sequel, although I didn't set it up to write a sequel, and I understand from a lot of writers that from a business standpoint, it makes more sense to write a series. But many people have said that Bottled Lightning is set up well for a sequel, although, again, I didn't plan it that way. So I haven't decided whether I'm going to write a sequel or not, but I'm working on a book now that's actually based on tournament fishing in the Florida Keys, because as you know, there's a lot of drama down here and a lot of history on and off the water and a lot of changes going on here that I find quite intriguing.
Having a series is often the best way to go from a marketing point of view, but I'm sure this new one-off will also be fascinating. But when you do have characters that you've developed, I think really Torn is such a great character. You have fans who will want to know more.
I have heard that from others. I think Saya is also a fascinating character. I think Mayumi is a fascinating character in her own right. I love all the characters. I think Mayumi's actually, I think she's got some mental health issues, but she's actually quite a very good person. And they're all obviously flawed to greater or lesser degrees, like all human beings. But I think there's a lot to work with. And also his best friend, Mac, I think is also a very intriguing character.
Well, I think you've come out with a wonderful book. It's fascinating. I always like books that make you think what's possible in the future, because anything's possible. We don't know anymore what can happen.
I think I think, Patsy, that's exactly right. So who, you know, when I was growing up in the 1970s, I wasn't thinking about the internet. I wasn't thinking that we'd have Facebook or Instagram or YouTube.
No.
Or any of these, right?
Yeah, exactly. You weren't thinking about the fact that you're going to be an author and had this wonderful author page and a beautiful trailer. Fantastic trailer.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. She did a wonderful job.
And your webpage is LM Weeks. And Mark, you know, when you get a deal for a movie, you have to promise to come back. Are you going to do this as an Audible book, too?
I am. And in fact, I just finished reviewing the last chapter last night. He's really done a wonderful job. Unfortunately, he was ill earlier this month, so it got a little bit delayed. Very much looking forward to that launch. I think it reads quite well, and he did, Seth, who did the narrating, did a fabulous job with the accent in a way that I think is respectful to the different characters and cultures.
I'm looking forward to hearing it, because as I was reading it, I'm more and more sort of attuned to, will a book sound right, you know, when I hear it on Audible. And so I am curious to hear the voice that he uses. And so you must tell me when it's released. I will make sure that I announce it here on Joy on Paper.
Oh, well, I really appreciate that, Patsy. And from your mouth to God's ears with respect to the movie, because I think it's a very cinematic story. I think people would really enjoy it, either as a movie or perhaps a short, you know, like a mini-series.
I was thinking more along streaming video, 6 parts. I think it would be great. I mean, I visualize it. That's why I got so excited with your first chapter. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, a screenwriter would be so happy you don't have to do anything he's written the opening.
Well, and I know exactly where it should be filmed, and I mean, I've ridden that expressway so many times, and that was part of the research I did. Actually, one of my editors in his comments wrote less motorcycle fetishness, so I think about
I thought it was great.
Ended up on the cutting room floor. Thank you.
Everybody, you have to go to LM Weeks' website and watch this trailer. It is one of the best trailers ever. So, again, thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper. Are you also, people can find you also on Facebook?
L. Mark Weeks on Facebook, both an author page and a personal page, and Instagram and also Twitter.
Well, Mark, you've done a wonderful job. The name of the book is Bottled Lightning. It is a great book. It's very exciting and very, very well written. Thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today.
Thank you, Patsy. Really appreciate it.
Okay, remember, let me know when the Audible's available, okay?
Absolutely.
Okay,
I promise.
Great. Bye-bye. Okay. All right, let's just do some bye-bye now.